So yesterday we saw the Mishnah at the beginning of the fourth perek on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, going on to Daf Mem Beis Omen Aleph. The last part of the Mishnah addresses the Rishus HaBaal, the Rishus HaAv over the Bas, over the Nara, and what his rights of collection are. But the main body of the Mishnah deals with Knas. And the question is, who collects the Knas? And we saw the Gemara at the beginning of this Daf Mem Beis and Aleph. And the Gemara wanted to know what the Chiddush was, because clearly the Torah specifies the father, and this is explicit in the Torah, as collecting the Knas. And we had a Mishnah earlier at the end of the third perek that enumerates all the different collections, the different payments that have to be made in the cases of onus and mafata. And what was the chiddush here in that Mishnah? So the Gemara suggested maybe the chiddush of the Mishnah was that the Nara herself does not collect the Knas, the father collects Knas. And the Gemara rejects that, because the Gemara says that if she were to collect the Knas herself, then in the case of Mefata, she is Mocheles. Why? Because since she consented to have this Maisa Pitui, that constitutes a Mechila on her part. And how could it be that she could collect the Tashluvin? And the only answer we could give to that is that she's not the Balabas over these monies, because the Torah gave the father the Rishus. He has the monetary rights to collect these monies, and therefore her Mechila is out of place. Now what we want to start today, for today's learning, is this Tosfos on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Dira Maskel Le'Avir. And Tosfos says that if you're asking what's the Chiddush of Mishnah, and it's pshita without a doubt that the father collects the Knas, because how could she collect the Knas in the case of Mefata if she consented and therefore she has Mechila? So Tosfos says, I don't understand. I can tell you that the Mishnah is being Mechadesh, that the father collects the Knas, Lafuke the Isha herself, right, the Anuso, the Mefuta. And even in the case of Mefuta, there's a Chiddush that the father collects the Knas, and you would have a Havamina that the Knas accrues to her. Why? Because we have the opinion of the Chachamim at the very beginning of the previous parak of Elunaris, who maintain that Knas is collectible not only in the case of Nara, but even in the case of Ketana. Now, in the case of Ketana, the pitui of a Ketana is basically an onus, meaning her mechila is meaningless. The Gemara in Bava Metzia established that a Ketana, since she has no das, she cannot be mocheles. So we really don't know, from the fact that a mafat has to pay, we really don't know that the father has rights to collect that knas. You'll tell me, well, there could be no knas in the case of Pitu because she agreed and therefore she was mocheles, but what about the case of Ketana? So in order to answer this question, Tosfos says that if you look at the Mishnah back on Daf Lamed Tes, the pashtus, the simple pshat of the Mishnah, which enumerates the tashlumin that you pay in the case of Mefata, the Mishnah is talking about a Nara. And the reason for that is because that Mishnah, which is at the end of Perek Elunaris, is a continuation of the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Elunaris. And of course the Mishnah opens up with Elunaris Sheyesh Lahem Knas. So the Mishnah is addressing the case of a Nara. A Nara for sure has Das, and therefore she could be Mocheles. And therefore the question is, was there a Havamina that the Knas would not go to the father, but rather to her? And the answer is absolutely not. So just to summarize this Tosfos, according to the Maskara Tosfos, Enochinami, there would be a Havamina that she could collect the Knas in a case where there's no possibility of Mechila, namely in the case of Ma'anes Mefatas HaKetana. And even though it was Pitui, nevertheless, there's no Mechila, because there may be Mechila from a psychological perspective, but not from a halachic perspective, because legally, since she doesn't have Das, she cannot be Mocheles. But nevertheless, the Gemara is assuming that the Mishnah is addressing the case of Nara, because this Mishnah is going back on the previous Mishnah, is going back on the first Mishnah of Eilu Naras. And in the case of Nara, for sure, there's no way that you can say that the Knas goes to the Nara in a case of Pitui. She was Mocheles. It must be that the father collects the Knas. Hence, we're back to our original question, what's the Chiddush of this Mishnah? If it's to tell me, enumerate all the payments that have to be paid, well, that we have in a Mishnah at the end of the previous parak. And if it's to tell me that the father has to collect the Knas in the case of Mefata, well, by definition, there's no one else who could collect Knas in the case of Pitui. And therefore, we must assume that Mefata, like Ones, the Pitui goes to the father. So what we're up to now are the words Amda B'Din. So let's see if we can find
Amda B'Din Easter Dericha.
Yeah, it's let's see how many lines down from the top.
If you see the star,
that's six
olive
lines down. 1 second, more than six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 lines down from the top of the Amud. Whoa. This is an occasion for...
you don't have to make a bracha on me.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe a six-piece band, a seven-piece band. Thank you. I hope everything's well by you.
Thank God.
So we are about to finish our limud so that tomorrow, meaning Sunday, we can start our chazorah. So to finish our limud, we're here on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And we're 7 lines down from the top, because this sugya, it really belongs, it's a continuation of the previous of the previous pair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay then?
Yeah.
So it says the following. Of the Bedin Itztrichle. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is the case of Amad Bedin, meaning what's the status of the knas and other payment if the father dies? Do these payments go to the heirs of the father because he already acquired ownership over these payments? Or do we say no, that he hasn't acquired ownership on these payments until he has the money in the bank? And what's the issue? The issue is that there was Hamada Bedin, meaning there already was a lawsuit against the Mefata, against the Ma'anes. We brought witnesses to testify against him that he, in fact, was guilty of these actions. And there was an Amad Bedin, there was a final judgment based on the testimony and the evidence to the effect that he, the Ma'anis and the Mefat, has to pay the Knas and the Boshes, the Pagam, the whole kit and caboodle. Then the father dies. And there was no opportunity for the father during his lifetime to collect these monies. So the monies are still in the hands of the Ma'anis and Mefata, but the Bezdin has already issued a ruling that the Mefata has to pay this money. And this is what the Mishnah is really addressing. This is the whole thrust or the chiddush of our Mishnah. In other words, the fact that in the case of Mefuta, she is Mocheles Asaknas, that makes sense. Before the Hamad Bedin, before Bezdin has actually ruled on the case and established that he has to pay the Knas. Once Bezdin has ruled on the case, then there's an absolute chiyuv, and that chiyuv is to the father. The father right now is alive and well, but then he dies. And the Mishnah is going to tell us that on this very issue, which I'll explain once again, Plukta de Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon, we have Machlokes, what's the status of Knas and Boshes and Pagam after Hamad Abedin, after Bezdin has already handed down their ruling? Does that mean that at this point, the father, who's now alive, was Zoche in all these monies, such that when he dies, he transfers ownership over to his Yarshim? So he has a son, who's the brother of this Nara, and the Nara can't claim, well, now that dad is gone, I want to collect these monies. No, she doesn't have the rights to do that because the father really is collecting the monies. Again, he's not alive, but stepping into his shoes are his heirs. In this case, her brother is going to be able to claim ownership on these monies. Why? Because there was already Hamad Abedin. Once there was Hamad Abedin and the father was alive and well, the father now has rights to collect that money. It's almost as if the money is in the bank. He hasn't yet collected it. And that's the sheet of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold that the monies are now considered Bershus Ha'av, including the Knas of Chamishim Shekel, once there was Hamad Abedin. Reb Shimon, on the other hand, disagrees. Reb Shimon says the money is not in his bank account. He has not yet, no one's made a deposit into his account. And true, there was Hamad Abedin, and definitely the Mefata is going to have to pay the Knas. But now the question is, to whom does he pay the knas? The father is gone. He never got a chance to collect these monies. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon, these monies are still theoretical, so to speak. They still remain in the abstract world of knas. And now the question is, in the case of knas, who collects the knas? Well, the father collects the knas while he's alive. And he, in a sense, represents his daughter's interest because she was the one who suffered as a victim of this crime. But on the other hand, if the father is gone, then the collection of this knas now automatically accrues to her. I think what Rav Shimon is saying is that inherent or in the original maisa of onus or mafata, she already has rights to collect that knas. There may be a couple of stages until she could actually collect that knas. The father, in a sense, is collecting the knas on her behalf. And once he's out of the picture, she steps up to the high profile. She's now becomes the main player on the stage. And she collects that knas. Again, had the father collected the knas in his lifetime, even Rav Shimon would agree, the money is in his bank account, that's it. Now if he dies, like all the other monies in his bank account, they accrue to the Yarshim. But if the father did not get a chance to collect these monies, so there was never a deposit of these monies, these funds, into his account, then they still remain in the status of knas. And knas now, after the death of the father, goes to the daughter herself. She's the one who collects the knas. So this is the machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. At what point does the father have a zchus and he owns the knas? According to the Chachamim, the very moment there was Hamad Abedin and the onus is chayv to pay the knas, he can no longer get away with it because there was already a decision on the basis of a ruling that he has to pay the knas. At that very moment, the father, who's alive and well, is zoche the knas. Reb Shimon holds no, that if he hasn't yet collected the knas, he hasn't been zoche the knas. And therefore we go back to the original template, and we ask who's going to collect the knas. The answer is the father's alive, he collects the knas. The father's gone, she collects the knas. So whereas the Chachamim would say that when the father dies, the knas automatically accrues to the Yarshim of the father by virtue of the law of inheritance, because the father, at the time of Hamad Abedin, became the Bailim, he became the owner over this knas. He was zochin the knas itself. With what? With what moment? Hamad Abedin. And Rav Shimon says, no, even after Hamad Abedin, he wasn't zochin the knas. He has the theoretical rights to collect the knas, but until he does so, and the money is in his bank account, it still remains knas. And then we have to ask, well, who has rights to the knas? So whereas the Rabbanan are going to say, well, he owns the knas. It's in his pocket, so to speak. And if he dies, together with all of his property, it's transferred over to his heirs. But in the case of the of Rabbi Shimon's understanding, Rabbi Shimon thinks that the knas is still called knas even after Hamad Bedin. And then with regard to knas, we always have to raise the issue, who gets the rights to collect the knas? And it depends. If the father's alive, he has rights to collect the knas. If he's not alive, then she has rights to collect the knas. But even after Hamad Bedin, up until the moment of gvia, which means collection of the knas, it's still called a knas. And it's up for grabs. It's the father or the daughter. If the father dies and he's out of the picture, then she collects the knas. That's Rabbi Shimon. Now what the Gemara is going to about to embark upon, by quoting now a Mishnah in Shavuos, you see where it says Tanan Hasam, which is approximately 10 lines down from the top of the page. Now Hasam means a Masechta Shavuos. The Gemara is now going to try to understand the sheet of Rav Shimon. What is Rav Shimon saying over here? Is Rav Shimon saying that even after Hamad Bedin, it still remains knas? It's not a 100%, it hasn't been transformed into 100% chiyuv mamon, even after Hamad Bedin? And the Gemara is going to say that this is going to be an issue in Masechta Shavuos. Now, what's the case in Masechta Shavuos? So we open up Vayikra Perek Hei. It's the end of the first parasha in Sefer Vayikra, and we read the following psukim: Nefesh ki secheta umal amal b'Hashem. The Torah is talking about a chet, and what was the nature of the chet? We'll see. As a result of this chet, he has to bring a korban. His chet was v'kichesh ba'amiso. He denies a claim of his colleague, so to speak, of another Jew. B'pikadon means that that Reuven is saying to Shimon, "Hey Shimon, you got a cow from me, and you were meant to watch the cow, protect the cow, and return the cow." And Shimon denies the whole story. And then we have a case of gezel, oshek, tumas yad. We have all sorts of cases in which v'kicheshba, he, Shimon, denies the claim. Okay, if he denies the claim, then we move on in life. We go to see if there are edim against him and so forth. But what happened? The Torah says, v'nishba al sheker. Not only did he deny the claim, but in order to substantiate his claim, he took a shvua. And it was al sheker, because later on we find out that he perjured himself, that this was a false oath. And the Torah says, V'haya ki yechta, as a result of this chet, v'yashem, he's guilty. And that word v'yashem, the Torah is going to explain, means he has to bring what's called a karban asham. And if you say karbanos in the morning, you'll see there are five types of karban asham. One of them is called asham gzelos. That's what we're talking about here. And what's going to be the punishment? So etc. So he has to return the property that he was confiscating, that he was holding back from Reuven. And then the Torah says, not only v'shilim also barosho, not only do you have to, if the object is gone, you have to pay its value, which is called keren, but v'chamishoso yosef olav, he has to add another chomesh, another 20% to the value of that which he stole. So now he's paying 120% of what he stole. And then the clincher is v'yas hashavo yavil Hashem. He has to bring a korban hasham gzelos, which is called ayol tomim in azoch of erka chol yoshev el hakohen. So there are three parts of his payment as a punishment for his crime of taking the shvur. Number one, he has to give the keren. Number two, he has to add to the keren a chomesh. And number three, he has to bring a korban hasham. That's A, B, and C. And all this is because he was v'kichesh b'miso, he denied the claim, he took a shvua, an oath, to substantiate his denial of the claim, and now he admits, by his own admission, that he lied under oath, and therefore he has to pay A plus B plus C. That's the background for this Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. Tanan Hasam, we learned there in the Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos, if the father comes to a person and he says, Anasta, u, the u here is a vav hamachalik, we read it as oh, right? Oh, Pitisa, or you seduced Espiti, my daughter, and therefore you have to pay a knas, oh, the knas, pagam, and boshes. Vehu, and this accused, Omer, he claims, lo anasti, lo pititi. He denies the whole story. So what does the father do? At this point, the father says, mashbiacha ani, I'm imposing a shvuah on you. Give me just a minute to explain what that means. That, to the effect that you did not rape my daughter or seduce my daughter, and I am imposing this shvuah on you, the Omar Amen. And Shimon, hearing this shvuah, responds with the word Amen. And basically, with that word Amen, he is supporting his claim, Shalo Onas Velo Pita, with a shvuah. And this is what's called Mushpa Mipi Acherim. That if I have a claim against you, I can be mashbia you, I can impose a shvuah on you, and if you'll respond Amen, it's as if you yourself had taken that oath. So now we have a situation in which Shimon denies the onus of the pitui and he took a shvuah. The achakach. What happened next? Hoda sheshiker b'shvuah. He confesses his crime and he admits the onus of pitui and the fact that he took a shvuah sheker. And here we have a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon in Masechta Shavuos.
Just a quick question. Yes. The woman is not, his daughter is not Neman in any of this, of what happened.
She's a Nara, and she doesn't have a yad, she doesn't have a claim on these monies.
Okay,
all the monies accrued to the father because she's a Nara.
No,
she's,
but he just took a shvuah that something didn't happen.
Right.
Okay, and so she's not. Whatever she says doesn't exist.
Well, again, here we talk about Dini Mominus. The issue is, does he have to pay or does he not have to pay? That she's not even a tzad in that
okay.
Argument.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because anything that she says might impact on her father, and her father is the one who's the bailiff.
Okay, I understand.
The Achrach Hoda. So he confesses that he took this oath and he falsified the oath. So the Chachamim say Chayev. Chayev means A, B plus C. He has to pay Keren, he has to pay Chomesh, and he has to pay Oshan. So Keren would be the 50 shekel of the Knas. On top of that, the Keren would include the Boshes and the Pagam. And then whatever that sum equals, we'll add it up with the calculator, and then we multiply it by 20%, that's called a Chomesh. That's the amount of money he has to pay. And then he has to bring in Hashem Gzelos because of the fact that he denied his friend's claim and he took a shvuah to that effect, and the shvuah was the shvuah sheker. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Now, what does this mean, Rabbi Shimon Poter? You have to be very careful and very, you could fall into a little bit of a mistake here. Rabbi Shimon Poter, he's not referring to Boshes Upagam. Boshes Upagam, for sure, without a doubt, even according to Rav Shimon, he has to pay by virtue of his own confession.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
so
that he has to pay because that's called mama. Rav Shimon is focused now on the knas.
Well, excuse me. We have in the breakdown, Mem Aleph Aleph, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Av Boshet Gam Eino Mishalem Al Pi Atzmo.
Right, so that's one opinion, and we have to understand that opinion. So hold off on that.
Okay.
But according to our understanding of Rabbi Shimon, not like that one opinion.
I see.
Then Boshet Supagam is certainly Mamon, and therefore Moda B'Mamon is Chayav.
Okay.
Comes along with Shimon, he says, but what about the knas? What about the 50 shkolim?
Mm-hmm.
Says Rav Shimon, on that he's potter, and he's potter even for the shvuah that he took on that knas. So, for example, Let's say the boshes of gam was 30. So he's going to have to add a chomesh to the boshes upagam lechor, right? Comes up with Shimon, he says no. The boshes of gam he pays, but any additional payment comes for the knas, and there's no payment for the knas. Why? Because mode of the knas is potel. Lefisha eda meshalim knas alpi atzmo. Now let's assume for the time being that there was hamada b'din. So it means that the father had a claim in front of Beis Din, let's call him Reuven against Shimon, and Shimon denied the claim, and later he was moda. Once he was moda, and he denied the claim and he took a shvua, and then he was moda. Once he was moda, then Beis Din will issue a ruling that he has to pay. But what does he pay? So if Shimon says he doesn't have to pay for the knas, because modav knas is potter. And you can ask the question, okay, modav knas is potter, but there was an admission on boshes supagam, and on boshes supagam, clearly based on his odas baldin, he will have to pay boshes supagam, because that's moment and that's not knas. And Adam Shemoda is Moda is Hodas Baldin Kmei Eidim Tomei. So the answer is that Reb Shimon thinks that this tviya, this claim, is primarily a claim on Knas. The Chacham never accepted that, because the Chacham understand that to the same extent that the father is claiming Knas, he's also claiming Boshe Supagam. So Reb Shimon focuses exclusively on the knas, and he says the following: knas, you're only chayiv if there are edim against you. Here, there were no witnesses against him. Now, if he would be moda on a knas, then moda b'knas is potter. So now, let's look at the tviya, the claim against him. When the father claims against him, And if we compare that to any other monetary claim, like for example, if I claim that you borrowed $1,000, you have to pay me back. What I'm asking for in that claim is that you give me a hodah, and if you give me a hodah, then I'll be able to get that money. If you deny it, you're hakasha, then you're denying me money because you should have been moda. In this case, says Reb Shimon, what do you mean you should have been moda? If he was moda, he'd be potter. So there's no leg to stand on. This is not a kfiras mamon. The whole parsha shvua addresses a case of a kfiras mamon. Like for example, I claim you borrowed, I claim you stole. So what I'm saying to you is that I need your admission, and if you deny it, you're stealing money from me. Why? Because you should have admitted it, and had you confessed your crime, you would pay me. So when you deny the claim, you are holding back a hodah, which would have allowed me, the claimant, right, the plaintiff, to collect those monies. So now when the defendant, we'll call him Shimon, takes a shvua, he's now gaining for himself through that shvua all that money that he would have to pay had he admitted and confessed that he owes the money. But in the case of Knas, nothing is gained by his shvua, because on the contrary, even had he been moda, he wouldn't have paid. So this is not what you call a kfiras mamon. The entire enterprise of Karban Shmua, this whole parasha, is predicated on what's called kfiras mamon. Again, kfiras mamon means that you deny a claim which, had you been moda, I, as the plaintiff, would have collected so much and so much. But in the case of knas, even had you been moda, I wouldn't be able to claim that money, because moda b'knas is potter. So this doesn't apply, you know, this doesn't, how should I say, cannot be categorized under the parasha of kfiras mamon. Comes along Reb Shimon, and he says, not only does that apply to the knas, but that applies to the boshes upagam as well. Again, what are we saying here? You have to be very careful. He'll have to pay the boshes upagam because he admits that he owes that money. But as far as adding a chomesh, or as far as bringing a karbon, he would not bring a karbon for the boshes upagam. And the reason for that is because the main claim here against him is on the knas. So Amru lo, the Chachamim turn to Rabbi Shimon. They say, Afal pishenu v'shalim knas al piatzmo. And therefore you're telling me that he doesn't have to pay chomesh or bring a korban asham as far as the knas is concerned, because had he admitted, which he actually did, he would be parted from this moment. So there's not a kfirah moment, meaning kfirah apoteris also. Aval mishalim boshes v'gam al piatzmo. You have to admit that boshes v'gam, which is mammon, you pay based on your own confession, and therefore we're talking about a kfiras mammon. So at least vis-a-vis the poshut v'gam is a kfiras mammon. That kfiras mammon, when it's bolstered by a shvua, generates a chiyuv chomesh and a chiyuv karman. So admit to me at least that as far as poshut v'gam is concerned, he has to pay with an additional chomesh, and he'll have to bring a karman because of the shvua that he took denying the chiyuv of poshut v'gam. And here's where Reb Shimon says, but that wasn't the Ikar Tviya over here. The real claim here was Knas, was Chamishim Shkolim. You know, the Boshes of Agam is like a Noch Schlepper. You know, it slept along. It's sort of swallowed up. But the real, the primary claim here is on the Knas. And we got the Knas, Modem Knas Potter, and therefore there's no Kfiris Mom. So now we want to analyze Rabbi Shimon. Boy Minei Abay Mi Rabba. Abai asked the following question to Rabbi. Ha'omer l'chavero onasta upitisa es piti ve'he'emaretich bidin. In other words, the father is claiming that not only was my claim against you, but I even brought my claim in front of a bezdin, and the bezdin invoked, or shall I say, subpoenaed two witnesses into the court, and they testified that in fact onasta upitisa as biti v'nes chayavta li, and Bezdin came to a final ruling that you have to pay mamon, which means that you have to pay the monies that an onus of mafat has to pay, which includes knas and bosh subagam v'hu. And now Shimon, the accused, Omer lo anasti, lo pitisi, lo amanitari bedin, lo nischayavti l'chom mamon, v'nishma. He takes a shvua and denies the whole story. Now, if you would ask me, if I was his friend, I would have told him that's a very bad mistake. To take a shvua on something that already came in front of a bezdin, you know, there's a protocol here. We're going to find the protocol of bezdin. But in any event, he took the shvua, the hoda, and then he admits that the whole thing was a bluff. I took a false shvua, and in fact, I was ma'anis, I was mefati yidur, there was amana bedin, and in truth, that bezdin issued a verdict that I have to pay. So the Gemara wants to know the following: what would be the deal here in this case according to Rav Shimon? According to Chachamim, there's no question, because Chachamim say even without this amana bedin, he has to bring a korban asham gzelos, and he has to pay the knas, and he has to add the chomesh, and everything else. But Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, who is codified in the Mishnah here in Shavuos, that a kfirah on knas in the case of onus mechat is not a kfirah as mamon. It doesn't generate a chiyuv korban shvuah. It doesn't generate a chomesh. Why? Because had he been moder, right, the opposite of the kfira, he would be potter. So the whole point of the kfira is to set up a hodah, meaning this pressure here that you should not be kofar is because I want you to be moder and you'll pay me. You're stealing money from me by being kofar. So your kfira is a kfiras mamon. But that doesn't apply in the case of knas, right? As we said before, according to Rav Shimon, since had he been moda on the knas, he'd be potter in any event. So that's not a kfir to generate. But here, if he would have been moda on the knas, he would actually pay. Why? My Gemara says, came in the omad bidin, in this case, and he's eventually going to admit that this happened, there was already amad bidin. So once it was amad bidin, Bezin takes the knas and converts it into mamon. Mamono havi. And now that it becomes mamon, he, Shimon, cannot deny the chov and be potter. He could not confess the chov and be potter under the law of modu knas. It's no longer knas. It now has transformed itself into mamon. And what power, what agency transforms a knas into mamon? It's the amida b'din. Is memela mechayev alei carbon shvur. According to this tzad in Rava, Rav Shimon would agree that under these circumstances, he would have to bring a carbon shvur and he has to pay the chomesh. Oh, Dilma, should we say no? Afal gav di amad bidin, even after the amida bidin, even after Bezdin, based on witnesses, issued a verdict that he has to pay the knas, nevertheless, knas av. It was a knas, and that's how we view it. And the Torah says that there's no chiyuv kfiras mamon of carbon and chomesh in the case of a knas. So we have to look for something that's mama. So when he denies that his friend gave him a loan or a pikadon or whatever it might be, that's called mama. And therefore that denial generates a chiv karbon, and he's going to have to pay keren v'chomesh. But in this case, we're talking about a knas, and the Torah never said that you have to bring a korban and pay a chomesh on a knas. So he denied a knas, and even though there was hamara bedin, which means it became like a chiv mamon, and he can no longer flex the hodah possibility that he has in his back pocket to say modu v'knas potter, no longer applies. But nevertheless, we're talking about a knas, and we're talking about a knas. Then it's not included in the parasha of korban shmua. So Rabbah responded to Abaye, and he said, if there was already Amar Bedin, and Bezdin determined that he's chai of these monies based on witnesses, is Mamona Havi. It became Mamon. Umechayev alei carbon shvua. And now when he denies this claim, that's a kfiras Mamon, and therefore he has to bring a carbon and he has to add the chomesh. So Abaye now turns back to Rabbah. And he says to him, Rabbi, what are you going to do with this brisa? The brisa says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yochel always introduces a habit. You know, Yochel, I might think, Ha Omer lechavero anasta upitisa as biti vu Omer lo anasti lo pitisi, or Hamis Sharchas Avdi, he claims that your shark killed my eved, and therefore you have to pay me a knas of shloshim shkalu. For who Omer lo Hamis, my shar did not kill your eved. Osha Omer lo, he says to him, Avdo. I'm sorry. Sha Omer lo Avdo, or his eved turns to this person. We'll call him Shimon again. He palto ashinai. You hit me and you knocked out my tooth. Simisas einai es eini, or you blinded me in an eye. And the deal is, there's a knas that if an adon does this kind of physical harm to his eved, the eved is an eved kanani, the eved kanani goes lecherus. So again, these are three examples of knas. First we have onus umefata, then we have shor shehemis as a eved, then we have hapolas shein v'ayin. For hu omer, and Shimon denies it, he says lo ipalti, velo simisi. He denies the whole story. V'nishba, and he took a shvua. And then, of course, afterwards he took a shvua on onus mafate, on the case of shor sharag eved, on yitzir becherus beshev ayin. Then, after he was moda, and he took the shvua, hoda, he admits that he took a false shvua. Yochel, I might think, yei chayav, in all these cases, he's chayav a carbon shvua, like any did of kfiras mamon, where he takes a shvua to support his kfiras mamon, and then he confesses. His Talmud Loma, the parasha says in carbon shvua, v'kichesh ba miso. And now the Gemara is going to look at all the cases mentioned of this kfiras mamon and find the common denominator that underlies all of them. Number one, b'pikadon. Number two, b'tsumas yad. Number three, b'gezel. Number four, b'oshek. Number five is Aveda, Vekichesh Bav, Nishbal Sheker, etc. is Yavias Hashem Al Hashem. What's common to all these cases that the Torah enumerates? They're all Miuchadim, they all have one common quality, and that is Shem Mamon. Is Af Kol Dov Shem Mamon. And any case of a Tvias Mamon if he takes his shvuah to deny his that claim, then he has to bring a carbon shvuah once he admits his crime. But yatsu elu, however, the cases of onus mafata, shloshim shalevet, shein v'ayim v'evet kanani, they're excluded from this parasha, shein knas. They're not similar to all the cases enumerated by the Torah. And therefore, in the case of knas, there would be no chiv karbon, even though he denied the claim, even though he took a shvuah sheker to support his denial. And here we turn to Daf Membeis Amid Beis. My love, Bisha Amad Bidin. Shouldn't we assume that in all these cases, the claim of the Tovea, of the plaintiff, was supported by Edim, which followed with a final decision, a ruling that was handed down by the Beis Din? And the assumption here is that this brisa that we're learning here, which is brought by Abai, is coming to teach us that Rav Shimon goes as far as claiming that there's no chiyuv of karban shvua, there's no chiyuv of chomesh in the case of knas, even after Amar Bedin, even after Beis Din establishes the chiyuv. And even if at this point, if he would be moda, he would be chayav. So all the elements of the equation to set up a karban shvua and a kfiras mamon are in place. Nevertheless, Rav Shimon says that we have this pasuk, and the pasuk enumerates all the cases for which there's a karban shvua and a chiyuv chomesh, and that the knas case is not similar to any of these cases. So a knas, according to Rav Shimon, is completely excluded. It's mufka from the parasha of karban shvua. So Gemara says, lo. Who says that the Bryce is talking about a case of Hamad Bedin, and Rav Shimon goes as far as to consider it knas, even after Beis Din handed down the ruling, Bishalom Hamad Bedin. The case is that this was before the Hamad Bedin, and that's when the Tviya came in, and that's when the Kfira came in. So he was being kofir on a knas before Hamad Bedin. Hence, Rav Shimon says that in such a case, he doesn't bring a carbon shvur. So now the Gemara is going to reveal to us why Abaye thought that the Braisa was certainly talking about a case of Hamad Bedin. V'hami d'resha b'shamad Bedin, seifa nami b'sha'amad Bedin. In other words, Abaye is going to build his case on what we call symmetry. There has to be a similarity in a Braisa between the resha and the seifa. So where was this resha about Hamad Bedin? So the Gemara quotes the resha now, the Ketani v'resha. The Reish is referring to the opinion of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say the following: Ainly, I might not know that there's a chiyuv karban shvua and a chiyuv chomesh on kfiras mamon el b'dvarim shemishalom aleihem sakeren, only in cases where you pay just keren, like gzela, pikadon, and so forth, and there's no knas at all. But tashlume kefel, tashlume arvav chamisha, or onus mefata motzi shemra minayin. How do we know that even in a case where the claim of the plaintiff includes even knas, like kefel, talavei, chamishim, shkolim, and onus mefata, the mea kesef, and motzi shemra, how do I know that's also included in the parasha fee of Karban Shmua? Talmud Lomar. Based on the pasuk in the parasha Karban Shmua, again always in Vayikra, hey, it says Umallah Mal Mal, and the Gemara wants to know what is this kefel, this Umallah Mal, double language Reba, that's a Reba, and this is Marbe even in case of a kofer b'tashlume knas. In fact, the Gemara, Hechidomi, what's the case? Idolo Amad Bedin. If this was before Amad Bedin, as far as the Kefal and so on is concerned, is Kfela Mi'ika. Kfela is just an example of a Knas. Would there be a Kfiras Mamon in the case of a Knas? The Chacham also would agree that Kfiras Mamon is not a Kfiras Mamon, because again, Kfiras Mamon means he's demanding from him a Hodah. Because that Hodah would be Hodah Mechayevus, and he was kofer, denied him the money. But now, even if he would be Moda, he'd be Potter. So if it's before Amad Bedin, there's no way, no how that he could be Chayev a carbon Me'ilah, a carbon Gzela, Ashen Gzelas. Elab Shita must be Be'amad B'Shamad Bedin. Ah, so we see that the Reish of this Reish is talking about a case of Amad Bedin. Hence, the Chachamim hold that there's a parasha of Karban Shvua with a Chomesh, because now the Amad Bedin converts the Kefel into Mamon. and there's no longer a possibility of his being moed. So the answer of Rabba is the following: if we want to maintain the symmetry and the literary consistency here in the Braisa, we'll say the Seif is also the case of Hamadah Bedin. And since it's a case of Hamadah Bedin, I'm sorry, I said this was Rabba. I meant to say Abaye. I stand corrected. Right, so Abaye says to Rabba that this is a case of Hamadah Bedin, and nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon and the Braisa insist that there's no Chiyuv Korban Shvuah. So a Knas is a Knas, and it always remains a Knas. And it doesn't change its identity even after Hamadah Bedin. That's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi responds to Abaye, Yachilna Lishnuya Lecha. I could give you B'dochak if I wanted to an answer, which is not a very satisfying one. Reisha B'Shalma B'Din, V'Seifa B'Shalma B'Din. V'Kula Rabbi Shimon. So I could really split between the Reisha and the Seifa, and I could claim that the Seifa. I'm sorry, let's go with the Reisha first. The Reisha is telling you that Rav Shimon agrees that if there was Hamadah Bedin, then there would be a Chiyuv of Karvan Shvuah because of Mal Amal. And the Sefer comes to tell me that in a case where there's no Hamadah Bedin, then there's no Chiyuv Knas. But again, that would be a little bit dachuk, because what do you mean Rav Shimon is telling me that if there's no Hamadah Bedin, then there's no Chiyuv Korban because it's Modu B'Knas is part. I mean, even the Chacham would agree to that. So why would Rav Shimon have to make a big deal about that? What's he coming to be Mechadish? So that's called Shinui D'Chikin Lo Meshanin Lo. I'm not going to give you an answer that's Dachuk, you know. It's like pushing an elephant into the eye of the needle. D'im Kain, Amartli, Lisni Reisha Rav Shimon Omer, Lisni Seifa Divrei Rav Shimon. This is a bad answer because Rav Shimon's name should have been mentioned here in the Reisha, because the Reisha is also Rav Shimon. Ella, so therefore I'm going to tell you, Kula Bisha Omad Bidin, that the Reisha and the Seifa are both talking about a case of Hamadah Bidin. The Reisha Rabbanon V'Seifa Rav Shimon. And the Reisha, which says that there is a Chiyuv Korban, that represents the Shita of the Chacham. And the Chacham say that after Hamadah Bedin, the Chiyuv Knas becomes a Chiyuv Mamon. The Sefer is Rav Shimon, and he holds that there's no Chiyuv Korban in a case where a person denies a Chiyuv Knas. And even though it's after Hamadah Bedin, so now it comes out very clearly that Rav Shimon holds that there's no Korban Shvuah on Kfiras Knas, even if it was after Hamadah Bedin. So at this point, Rabba is rescinding his original answer to Abaye, Umodina Lecha, and I have to admit to you, Abaye, that you're right. Le'inyan Korban Shvuah, Derachmona Patre, Vivat Kichesh. That since the Torah, in the case of a kichesh, gives us all these examples of gezel, pikadon, etc., which are all cases of mamon, it means that the entire parasha of Korban Shvuah is conditional on the fact that there was a kfiras mamon of a chiyuv mamon, but not knas. And that's the shita of Rav Shimon. And we understand that li'olam, in all cases, even after Hamadah Bedin, there's no chiyuv Korban Shvuah on a kfiras knas. V'chi amina lecha. Mamon Havi, and what I said to you before, that Knas, after Hamadah Bedin, is called Mamon, that's only Lahurisho Lebanov. So for example, if a person becomes Chayav Knas, and then he dies, then, well, let's see who died. In this case, the Tovea died, so now the defendant is able to... So the Tovea died, right? And it was already Hamadah Bedin. So now the Yarshim of this Tovea can now force the defendant to pay the Knas. So that's where we want to get up to. Now what we didn't get up to today, because it's coming around the bend, is to go back to our Mishnah, which records a machlokas between Chachamim and Rav Shimon, with regard to not Korban Shvuah, that's not the subject of our Mishnah, but with regard to who is going to claim is going to claim this knas. And Rav Shimon was the one who says that she claims the knas if her father died, even if he died after Amar Ben Din. So we'll have to see how we identify and square up Rav Shimon there in our Mishnah with Rav Shimon here in the Braisa with regard to Korban Shavua. That's the only thing that we'll left. So B'li Neder, I think on Sunday we'll be able to start our Chazorah. We may need another day to finish this up, and I wish everyone a great Shabbos. Okay, then.